Hey everyone, it's Cece and Naja
coming to you live and direct
in real life. Hello everyone.
What's up?
So today we are going to be talking about another woman in David's life, his daughter Tamar. Now, I'm going to give a disclaimer. We're going to be talking about a very tough subject. So if rape is a very sensitive subject to you,
if it's triggering,
yes, you might not want to listen to this one, but we're not going to go too deep into it. We may. We don't know where the Holy Spirit will take us, but we just want to, you know, do a disclaimer. So I'm going to do a praying and then we will start. So dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your love. I pray that all of us know a father's love and we depend on your love first and we don't seek it any other place. I pray that everyone listening will take something from this, no matter if it is, you know, healing wounds from the past or, you know, revelations for future reference. Lord, I pray that this is not too tough and it's just enough for everyone to be reached and touched. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I told Cecily something, that this is going to be a tough one for me because rape is really a serious subject. And I was listening to this sermon today, Cecily, and this man was talking about how rape has always been prevalent in the world. Mm-hmm. And like in the Bible, people get raped all the time. And he was like, there's a point of that to show that nobody was perfect. Everyone has been through something. And like this Tamar story is really, really, really sad. And I think we might cry this story talking about it. We haven't talked about it yet. But go ahead. Could you explain?
I mean, well, it starts with not Absalom, it's her brother. Amnon. I hope I'm saying that right.
It is.
So these are all three of these people are David's kids.
Yes.
First of all. And so I don't know if you recall in the last podcast we spoke about how David sinned with Bathsheba. You know, the Lord told him explicitly, the sword won't depart from your house.
Yeah.
And so in David's old age, his kids just out there running amok.
Yeah.
Amnon fell in love with his half-sister Tamar.
Yeah.
He kept referring to his half-sister as his brother's sister.
Absalom's sister. Yeah. Because they were from the same mother.
Yeah, and I think that he was just trying to... I felt like he was trying to detach himself from the thought and the reality that this is also my sister.
Yeah.
And beyond even her being his sister, she was a virgin. She was unwed. Mm-hmm. And
she was young.
Beautiful, yeah. Yeah. He fell in love with her so much. He was so obsessed with her, even, that he made himself sick.
Physically.
He walked around looking haggardly and just, like, longing, giving in to his carnal desire for his sister.
And you know what, Cecily, I just thought about something. When we have a mental illness can cause distress. So I don't know if any of y'all know this, but I'm a nutrition and wellness consultant. And something that I've learned through my studies is that your mind and your stomach and your body is so much more connected than we think.
Your mind is so powerful.
And when you when your mind is messed up, the rest of your body can be totally distressed. Yeah. So I even wonder if he was battling some type of mental illness, because they said he made himself physically ill.
Yeah.
And even one of his advisors or his uncle, his brother's uncle or something, somebody said, why do you look like
his
that?
His other brother.
Oh, yeah.
His other brother said, what is wrong with you?
Yeah.
And he said,
I'm in love with Absalom's sister.
Again.
Y'all should see Cecily's face. She's
I'm in love so with annoyed. My brother's sister.
Your sister, homie.
Right?
Yeah. She's rolling her eyes.
It's like, so really, it just makes me so disgusted. And the Lord, he is working on me because...
Customs were different back in the day.
But I don't say this to insult anyone. But I do think that sometimes in history... And men have had a tendency to just take you know, I think
it's still now.
That's yeah. And I know women aren't perfect and I know we have our issues, but I think that is something that men struggle with.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted his sister so bad that he made up this story. You know, he said, I've fallen ill. Go tell daddy that I'm sick and tell him.
His brother advised him to do that. Remember?
Didn't
say that.
Oh, I thought he told him.
Whoever it was that he told he was in love with his sister, mm-hmm. he was like, okay, so why don't we just go get David?
Our father.
And tell him, he'll come to your room, and you tell him that you're sick and you want Tamar specifically to come cook in front of you and feed you by hand.
And then even then... he said, tell her to come cook so I can watch her.
Yeah. And feed me by hand.
Yes.
Now, granted, women were in a serving role, and we still are at some...
But I think even beyond serve, because we serve each other. We're meant to complement each other. It's a nurturing. It's in us to nurture.
Yeah, but I'm thinking more of a, like, he was already setting her up for failure.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I want you to come serve me first. Because I do think he wanted her to serve him first.
Mm-hmm.
And so she comes. Of course, it's her brother. And she has to do what the king says, her dad. So she comes again.
Whoa, he told his cousin.
Cousin, okay.
Mm-hmm.
He told his cousin, whoever. His cousin advised him to make this mess. Yes,
and then his cousin was like, pretend that you're sick and get Tamar to prepare you some food.
Mm-hmm. So basically, Tamar comes. She does that. But he was like, nah. He started getting angry, and I'm sure Tamar was super confused, like, why is this man angry? I'm doing everything he told me to do. So he tells everyone to leave the room. Everyone leaves the room, and he's like, come closer. You know. She comes closer.
Come closer to feed me, he says.
Y'all, oh my gosh. So she comes closer, and he's like,
you want to do it? He asked her first. He asked her to have sex with him, and he was like, or she was like, no, like, that'll disgrace me.
She even said, I'll marry you.
Yeah. She's like, no.
Why don't we ask dad?
Yeah.
We can get married. I'm sure he'll say it's fine. And he was like,
but if you do this, it's going to leave me desecrated for the rest of my life.
And she also said, it's also going to make you look really bad. Yeah. You're going to look like one of these, what did she say? One of these... evil men know. Or something like
that. Yeah, I think she did say evil men.
I don't care. I want you.
Because he was so overcome with lust. Mind you, his father struggled with lust.
Yeah.
And sin visits a family to the seventh generation. When you don't take care of your sin, oh, you best believe. When you don't break that stronghold, you better believe it's going to visit your kids mm-hmm. and their kids and their kids mm-hmm. until somebody has the strength and the power of the Lord to say, not me, not my kids.
Yep.
That's a sidetrack, my bad.
No, that's good. That's a word. That's really good.
Anyway.
Poor Tamar. So then she gets raped.
Yeah, he basically grabs her and he rapes her. And then as soon as the deed is done, and this is what just disgusts me.
I don't even want to talk about
it. As soon as the deed is done, he gets so angry that he puts her out and tells her to slam the door behind her. He becomes so disgusted with her. He's more disgusted with her than he was in love with her. And that is exactly what the Bible says. He hated her more than he loved her. So that just goes to show you it was all pure carnal lust and you know, just him wanting his fleshly desires. And then he kicks her out like she's nothing.
So when people do things wrong, there was a question that I asked somebody the other day and I want to ask you guys. And I think I put it on my Instagram. Does shame... get in the way of what you really need to do? Because he was shamed. I don't think he really hated her. I think he hated himself more. Yeah,
and projected.
Yeah, on her. And so shame can get in the way of you doing the right thing. Like apologizing, getting over it, and all that. But he made her feel like she was the animal. And she was disgusting that when that door slammed in her face, she ripped her clothes. So she
ashes on her head.
She had on a purity robe because all the king's daughters who were pure and were not unmarried had to wear certain type of clothing, and she ripped it
and cried so loudly. And so, you know, people saw it. But her brother saw too. Her brother Absalom. He said, "What's wrong?" And she said, "He said you're coming from Amnon's room." Did he? He basically put everything together.
Yeah.
And he said, "Don't tell anybody. Don't worry about it." And then she basically he took her in, and she stayed in his house for the rest of her life. But you know, it brings me back to something, and that's how Tamar's story ends. That's not how Amnon's story ends. But going back to what you just said about shame, mm-hmm. I do believe, and I feel like this is from the Holy Spirit. They don't talk much more about Tamar, mm-mm. But they do say that she lived in her brother's house until she died. And I think sometimes you can become so shameful, and she put those ashes on her head, that you hold those ashes for the rest of your life. Mm. Instead of, like the Lord says, give me your ashes and I will give you beauty.
Yeah.
And there is another time in the Bible where Jesus talks to the woman who has six husbands, mm-hmm. Or had six husbands, and she was shacking up five husbands, and she was shacking up with the sixth one. And you know, Jesus was asking her questions that he already knew the answer to, but he still gave her grace, and she was still able to go out, mm-hmm. and trade that shame and those ashes for beauty. She was able to go out and say, you know, I met this man Jesus, mm-hmm. and look what he did for me.
Yeah.
And I just think, I don't know Tamar's story, but I don't think that that's how her story had to end.
I don't either. I totally agree with you. I think that
she was so ashamed.
Yeah. And so in real life, have you ever felt victim of your circumstances?
Yeah.
So we can play victim all we want to. And bad things happen to us. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, this is a fallen world.
This is awful what happened to her. But we cannot continue to victimize
ourselves. You can't live there.
No.
Because the story doesn't end there. Jesus didn't stay on the cross.
Yeah.
And when you don't allow your ashes to be a part of your redemption story, when you mm-hmm. don't allow Jesus and God to trade your ashes for beauty, mm-hmm. then you rob yourself not only of your happiness, but you rob yourself of your testimony.
Yes.
And this life is hard. Mm-hmm. And God never said it was going to be easy, but he said he would provide a way of escape, and he said he would be there for us. We don't mm-hmm. have to live in our sin. We don't have to live in our worst situations.
And the Lord also says that he will provide justice for us. We don't have to worry about
true,
that.
True, true, true.
So 2 years later, Absalom killed Amnon. It seemed in the Bible, when you read the story at first, that mm-hmm. Absalom was like, hey, just chill, be quiet, don't worry about mm-hmm. it. But Absalom made a plan, y'all.
He carried that hate in his heart for a long time.
And
it added to his demise.
Yep.
Because when he killed Amnon, it caused more uproar in David's family, in yep. David's house, and that caused more strife between the siblings.
Yeah.
And I think that also goes, you know, with the shame thing. It's yeah. like, you can't hold on to these things and expect everything to go your way and to get what you want, because mm-hmm. vengeance isn't yours.
It's not.
And you don't, and sometimes the plan that you plot out to vindicate yourself
mm-hmm.
leads to your demise.
And so that's something that I struggle with. I'm a very justice, vengeance type person.
Yeah.
I'm all... Deborah's my favorite person in the Bible, and I can't wait till we talk about her, but she was a judge.
Yeah.
I love how powerful... Not even powerful. I love how bold she was.
She's
I just
wise.
Love bold, wise, intelligent women.
Yeah.
And not just people in general. And that's something that I struggle with. I have to always remind myself because that vengeance is the Lord. So I get in the sunken place sometimes and be like, oh my gosh, I am a victim of my circumstance.
Yeah.
Woe is me.
Yeah.
How can I put revenge on this person? How can I
make them feel like I felt?
Yes.
But that's not what it's about.
No. And I'm sure that Tamar, that probably went through her head. Other things probably went through her head. But ultimately, she stayed in that space and lived with her brother in isolation the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Never had children. And no one knew. Only David and her brothers knew. From biblically, I don't know.
Yeah.
It could have been a lot of more people, because other people could have seen what she was doing. But she could have, like you said, lived a redeemed or redeemed life.
Yeah, and it doesn't even matter who knows. There's a lot of things. There's a lot of people out there who are going through very public, very public obstacles and problems, but that doesn't mean that God can't use it. He doesn't waste anything.
And I'm sure she believed, like, back in the day, the law is when you are impure that people aren't supposed to touch you and stuff mm-hmm. like that. But God can do anything.
God does what he wants.
All the time.
And he wants us to live the best life. And just like God didn't want that to happen to her, I just really don't believe God wanted that to be the end of her story.
Mm-mm. I think our circumstances, even our bad circumstances, grow us.
Yeah.
So maybe, of course, God doesn't do anything out of line, out of order. I believe, yes, unfortunately, that happened to her, but there was something more that could have came of that was a positive. And I hate that that's how her story ended, but I feel like now, you know, with the Me Too movement and everything going on with rape being...
Jeffrey Epstein.
That's a lot going on. There's so much going on. He's disgusting. Anyway, don't get me talking about politics. I'm sorry. That's a whole
different
thing.
But it's a lot going on, and it's very public right now.
It is, but with all of that going on, I feel like there's so many more victims out there that feel like they need to be quiet.
Feel like that's the end of their story.
Yeah, and that's what they're shameful. They feel dirty. Yeah. They feel disgusting. They feel worthless. I'm sure she felt worthless. Like, who am I? What am I? I can't be a wife. I can't be a mother. I'm worthless. But whoever is listening, if you feel worthless, if you feel dirty, if you feel like you're shamed, even if you weren't raped, it could be anything. If you feel so demoralized by something that's happened to you, Jesus came and died on the cross and shed blood for you. He is your redeemer. Turn to him. Turn to the Holy Spirit. Have him guide you to your redemption story. Because you are great. You are worthy. Because Jesus wouldn't have died for you if you weren't worthy. God wouldn't still have you alive if you weren't worthy. There's more to your story. So use what happened to you and make it a positive. You may not see it as a positive right now. And I can even contest that some things that's happened to me in the past, I did not see it as a positive. Mm-hmm. But it can be. I remember one day I was telling a friend who was a virgin, man, I used to regret having sex before marriage, but I'm glad I went through what I went through with the people I went through it, because now I can help somebody else. Yeah. And she was like, nah, no one's going to listen to you. Do you know how many people I've talked to about what I've been through? And they were like, wow, God has changed you. The change and the redemption is the glory. That's the glory, not what you are already good at. That's not the glory. The glory is what you come out of. So I can go on and on. So we're just going to.
Well, guys, I don't know. I know that was a little bit heavy. It's not as fun and joking as we normally are. Mm-hmm. But I feel like the Lord led us to speak about that for a reason. So anybody out there who's suffering, male or female, mm-hmm. with anything, be it sexual or not, our email address is always open. We are always here to pray, listen, and or give advice. Our email address is bearingburdensirl@gmail.com. bearingburdensirl@gmail.com. I'm starting to regret making that long email. I ain't gonna lie, it's long.
So the reason why we came up with that email is because that was one of our ideas for our podcast
name. Yeah, the podcast name. I was really going for that, y'all. I really wanted it to be the name.
Yeah, and then we were like,
no, Naja was like, how about it be the email address instead?
Compromise, guys.
Y'all, I did not want the podcast to be IRL. This is behind the scenes.
Well, IRL actually was voted.
We had all
of our friends vote on like 3 or 4 different ones.
Yeah, and that was the one that resonated most with people. So we hope we're resonating with you too. I know it's getting long, so let's say this prayer and then let y'all go about y'all business. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to talk to our brothers and sisters, Lord. I pray that you remind them all that they are all a mini version of you, Lord, and that you strive to make them even more like you day by day, even through this fallen world and through all of these terrible situations that we do face on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Lord, I pray that they remember that you don't waste anything and that you be able to use their story to reach somebody else for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Have a good week, everyone.
Bye, guys.